time, a crazy long time, and I don't want no minute man, and that's real. Give it to me some more. Break me off, show me what you got, cause I don't want no 1 minute man. Break me off, show me what you got, cause I don't want no 1 minute man.
You are listening to Space Plane on CKUT 90.3 FM until 2 a.m.
I have a PhD in virology and immunology.
Me too.
I'm a clinical lab scientist and have tested 1,500 supposed positive COVID-19 samples collected here in Southern California. When my lab team and I did the testing through Koch's postulates and observation under a scanning electron microscope, we found no COVID in any of the 1,500 samples. What we found was that all of the 1,500 samples were mostly influenza A and some were influenza B, but not a single case of COVID. We did not use the BSPCR test. It's polymerase chain reaction test. Celia Farber does wonderful journalism on the topic. I did videos on this channel for that.
Me too.
We then sent the remainder of the samples to Stanford, Cornell, and a few of the University of California labs, and they found the same results as we did. No COVID. They found influenza A and B. All of us then spoke to the CDC and asked for viable samples of COVID, which CDC said they could not provide as they did not have any samples. We have now come to the firm conclusion through all our research and lab work that the COVID-19 was imaginary and fictitious.
There you go!
The flu was called COVID, and most of the 225,000 dead were dead through comorbidities such as heart disease, cancer, diabetes, emphysema, etc. Then they got the flu, which further weakened their immune systems, and they died. I have yet to find a single viable sample of COVID-19 to work with. We at the 7 universities that did the lab tests on these 1,500 samples are now suing the CDC for COVID-19 fraud. The CDC has yet to send us a single viable, isolated, purified sample of COVID-19. If they can't or won't send us a viable sample, I say there is no COVID-19. It is fictitious. The 4 research papers that do describe the genomic extracts of the COVID-19 virus never were successful in isolating and purifying the samples. All the 4 papers written on COVID-19 only describe small bits of RNA, which were only 37 to 40 base pairs long, which is not a virus. The viral genome is typically 30,000 to 40,000 base pairs, with, as bad as COVID is supposed to be all over the place, how come no one in any lab worldwide has ever isolated and purified this virus in its entirety? It's because there never really was, they never really found the virus. All they've ever found was small pieces of RNA, which were never identified as the virus anyway. So what we're dealing with is just another flu strain. Every year, COVID-19 does not exist and is fictitious.
That's all you need to know. Hey man, I've been saying that since last year. And that is from Dr. Robert Young, a PhD virologist, if that sort of thing impresses you.
Thank you. We'll be right back. How's it going out there riding the waves of the vast and choppy conspiracy? From sunny San Diego, I'm Greg Carlwood.
Hi, Greg.
And longtime listeners know we have spent a lot of time talking about health, consciousness, magic, manifestation, multidimensional entities, mind control, black budgets, cultural manipulation, geopolitics, spirituality, power, corruption, and many other things that make up the construct of our carefully managed human terrarium. But we don't focus too often on evil by name. It's certainly in the mix of our conversations, but some might find it curious how rarely society tackles the notion of evil head on, which didn't always seem to be true. Maybe it's social engineering, widespread neglect, or straight up denial, but it seems like slowly over time, the foresight to keep a spotlight shined on evil has slowly faded away to the point that people have forgotten how to even identify it, or if it's really even there. It's this ambiguity and even widespread apathy that seems a bit out of place in the human experience. But it's not arbitrary, because as we know, the greatest trick the devil ever pulled was to convince the world he didn't exist.
That's right.
American Man Boy Love Association. So they kind of created this political front for pedophiles to make it sound like, oh, we're trying to advance this politically. And he says, you know, that at no time were these people at all interested in any political agenda. They just wanted to get together and rape, and not only rape, but they wanted to hurt these little kids. And back to Times Square, he said he was standing there in the store. And these men are looking over the rail, and they're looking at the parents, but they're looking at these kids, and they're talking about what they want to do to these kids. And it's not just about sex, it's about violence and how they want to hurt him. And he says, Alex, if I wasn't undercover, I would have thrown those guys, I would have tossed them over that 20-foot rail and enjoyed watching their head smash on the ground. So two things. One, I think a lot of us can relate to that feeling that we get when we feel like that's going to be inflicted on somebody, especially somebody as helpless as a 6 or 7 year old child. But what it also brought into focus for me, and this is what I asked them about. I asked them about the evil question, because it almost like snaps us out of that, I don't know, just kind of lull that you were talking about at the beginning of the show, where you go, no, that's freaking evil. That is freaking evil there. Don't tell me about, you know, sexual preference, or that is evil. What they wanted to do was evil. And then as soon as you grab hold of yourself, you go, okay, if I know in my gut that that's evil, well, what does that mean? What does that mean? That means evil isn't just this. Evil is a social construct. Evil is whatever anyone says it is. It's like, no, man, no, there's something else to it. And that story to me kind of helps kind of jump me into that in a way, kind of shake me out of the fog. What do you think? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely, Alex. Absolutely.
Thank you.
we are at a point, and this comes up in the book as well, that we're trying to justify everything with science, like you say about sexual preference or it's a mental condition. It's like, well, sometimes it is just evil, and this is kind of how the devil slips in, you know, just so to speak, because if you're in denial, you don't really recognize what's going on, and it's this justification, which is always, it is through science, which is kind of the weird thing about it. Like, we're looking for a scientific explanation because we have removed spirituality from the world at large, so it's got to have some explanation, and we just can't fathom it. Instead of just pinning evil for evil, we try to do all these mental gymnastics to find a science.
Hey man, don't say we, that's they. They do that. I don't do that, but we know what you mean. Greg Carwood in conversation with Alex Chakaris. On Space Plane!
Scientific explanation that then, I don't know what they want to do at that point, just accept it, like foster it. It just seems strange, but we used to have our guard up a lot more against evil, and we used to be more vigilant, and I think it's probably time to return to that.
Well, you said a couple of things there that I think are really interesting that I want to return to is the last thing you said about having our guard up. I hadn't really thought of that, but that definitely has to be in play here, right? Because when I was flip-flopping back and forth between, why is science so whack about this? Why can't they figure out at least the most obvious?
Because it's the devil's design.
Maybe we'll talk about that in a minute with the guy from Ohio State University who isn't sure about whether the evil he's encountered is really evil. But, you know, back to kind of flipping back and forth about that, you go, well, what could be the agenda? And I think one of the agenda items is exactly as you just put it, in that it kind of lets your guard down. Because if evil is merely a social construct, merely something that, well, we all agree on. And the drone strikes in Yemen, hey, you know, it's kind of gray because maybe those Yemenis guys were really terrorists and maybe they were going to kill thousands. So, yeah, I guess everything is kind of gray. And it really takes, like we're just talking about, you have to kind of then realize the implications of that scientifically, which is the connection you made, which I think is so great. And what I'm all about is to say, what are the philosophical and scientific implications of saying that evil is merely a social construct? What it gets back to is saying, well, really, nothing in your life really has any meaning. There really is no good or bad on any kind of scale. And you know what? Like, Greg, you've been down this path so long now. I've heard you so many times on the show. You know, you're way past the materialistic science. But I would throw that out as, hey, that is a legitimate question, right? But the problem is the question has been answered and it's not true. You know, scientific materialism fails. Consciousness is real. Extended consciousness is real. So we have to bring back on the table this whole thing of, is there a moral imperative? Could there be a right and wrong? Could there really be an evil? And that's really, without going too far, just to get to that point would be a huge step forward, because we're not there.
Hey, some of us are, Alex.
Yes, I agree. It does heavily relate to the question of, is there meaning in the universe? And I know that you've had your frustrations with Grant Cameron's perspective as well as I have, which is that, well, it's all consciousness, man. It's just all happening in the spectrum. And it's like, okay, maybe at a higher level, ultimately that's true, but it's really not helpful for navigating reality. It's not helpful for understanding the motives of these interactions with non-human intelligences. It just doesn't really tell us anything. So it is just a frustration with some people, just in ufology as an example, that we're trying to get a handle on, should we be interacting with some of this stuff we're interacting with? And they just keep bringing it back to it's all consciousness. And if you can recognize evil, you realize, well, you can't ration with it. You're not going to reason with it. It just you should ostracize it from yourself and the people you care about. And there should be more vigilance about protection. But I didn't want to switch gears on you too much, but this is also interesting because you're always having this question about consciousness with the scientific community. You're still, it's in the book and in the show that you still have to have this consciousness conversation. And they're, in some cases, in denial or maybe even outward rebellion against the idea of consciousness being real. And it does make you wonder about the value of their academic work when they won't fold in consciousness at all. Well, let's apply that to what's gone on in the last year and a half, because the way you approach this stuff has been really helpful for me, because I apply that same sort of thinking to medical science, and that most of these virologists or CDC medical experts, I think they're largely in the materialist paradigm too. And so I ask, well, if you still don't understand or acknowledge consciousness, if you're not factoring that in to what it is to be human, even if you have good intentions, how can I really trust your vaccine? You don't even understand the human ecosystem, really.
Well, that's a big, big, big point. It's a great point. And you've kind of brought the whole world into one little focal point, which I think is awesome. And that is, yeah, I would almost return it back to the question of evil, because that's where I thought you were going. But I think we can get to the same place, because what I've developed over the course of doing this, and I certainly didn't see this at the beginning, but kind of as you were alluding to, the whole evil thing now is almost like a litmus test. Like you were talking about Grant Cameron, who I have a lot of respect for. Mm-hmm. But in general, people in the UFO community, when they can't wrap their heads around the possibility that these interactions with ET, with non-human intelligence, might be associated with something that we would identify as evil. If you can't wrap your head around that, if you can't be willing to throw that on the table and say, wow, you know, there's kind of, that's a reasonable read of someone who's been raped publicly by some entity and has the physical evidence to prove it. Yeah, I guess I do have to consider that there might be an evil there. So in the same way that that becomes a litmus test, and a similar litmus test for the academic who says, well, of course, you know, I've been around the block. I've seen a lot of things. I don't characterize anything as quote unquote evil because I've just seen so many different things. Again, alarm bell goes off in my head. But to return it to the plandemic thing, 1,000% agree with you that what we saw in the last year, to me, is the, I don't want to say the end game because we have no idea where the end game is going, but it is definitely a consequence of the one dumbing down and also the manipulation of science and the total manipulation of science that does relate back to exactly what you said. If you are going to peddle the biological robot meaningless universe meme, and if you're allowed to get away with that, then it makes it easier to get away with almost anything and to then do all sorts of scientific mandates. And then when people complain, they say, quit your damn clamoring about scientific studies and analysis. And that's, I have a quote where the guy actually says that. It was about mask science, because we did a show about how science has repeatedly, when you do the careful, randomized, controlled clinical trials, all this nonsense about masks falls away. There's no significant difference in clinical trials. Of course, in the laboratory, you can show that a mask stops stuff from coming out of your face. We knew that when we were, right when you went to kindergarten, your mom said, Greg, cover your face when you cup. We knew that. But what they do is then they try and turn that into science when the real science says, and I'm getting a little bit off target, but it comes back here, the real science, as much as they've tested it over and over again, and they don't know exactly why masks don't work in terms of reducing the spread of the disease in the population, whatever disease that is, you know, because most of that science was done not just in the last year, it was done 5-10 years ago, and they kept getting the same result. Gee, it doesn't lead to a reduction in the spreading.
It leads to depleting yourself of oxygen and going brain dead.
Mm-hmm.
here's a guy, here's an official muckety-muck saying those exact words. Stop clamoring about studies. He's telling us, the public, stop worrying about the science. We'll tell you when to wear a mask, and damn it, we'll tell you when you can stop wearing your freaking mask. That is the end game that I think you're pointing to. If I can fool you about consciousness, if I can fool you about meaninglessness, if I can convince you that the love you feel for your partner, for your parents, for your kids, that doesn't really exist, that it's just a trick of the mind, well, then I'm well on my way to convincing you of any kind of bullshit scientific study I put in front of you.
Yes, man. That is so well said, and that is why it is so important. Ignoring evil and ignoring consciousness, or extracting them from the public mindset, they both have similar effects. And yeah, it's like science wants to tell you that love you feel is just chemicals. Just chemicals doesn't mean anything. And they'd say the same about psychedelics. You know, it's just chemicals in your brain. It's you're poisoning yourself, and so you have these odd effects. And it's like, no, experience it. And what it really is a peek behind the veil.
Yes.
And you could say the same about love, too. Love is something that shows you there's meaning in the universe. And science is this huge field that's ripped both of those things away from the public consciousness. But it also operates on this, the ends justify the means kind of thing. I mean, think about all the, even just animal torture that goes on in the name of science that we turned a complete blind eye to because, well, ultimately it's for the greater good. Well, they've also tested a lot of stuff on mental patients, people in prison, kids in orphanages, kids in the third world. I mean, Pfizer just lost a giant lawsuit for damaging African boys with a vaccine. They got meningitis and they lost this lawsuit. And my mind goes to, wow, they must have really screwed up. The case must have been pretty clear because little boys in a village in Africa don't really have a lot of legal resources, and Pfizer does. So for Pfizer to still not be able to win that fight, I mean, that's interesting. And should they be injecting people with something now? Like, I think the whole history of science and medical science in particular, it's full of evil, but we don't call it that because, well, they're trying to improve the world. And it's like, well, show me the fruits of that. Show me that. Because if you're going to say this campaign is trying to make the world better, I just don't see it.
Yeah, two things. Let me jump in there with two things. One is on the meaning thing, and it took me a long time to even be able to voice this because they are so effective with their messaging that for all of us, even people like you and I, who feel like we're kind of pushing against it and we're leery and we're on guard, we still let our guard down. When they say that the universe is meaningless, or that, like we were saying, love is really just the chemical, whatever, it is not just wrong, it is completely the opposite. Mm-hmm. Like when you go spiritual, when you go to the great mystics and the great thinkers, what they say is the opposite, right? They say everything is meaningful. The plant that you're looking at outside your window is conscious, it's meaningful. The sun is meaningful. There's meaning everywhere in the universe. Everything has meaning, right? So it's funny how they've completely switched it. So usually when we have that dialogue, we're like, well, I think there might be a little bit of meaning. I mean, I don't know if, you know, aren't dolphins, you know, smart? Of course, you know, this animal isn't smart. Of course, you know, the ant that's crawling on your desk isn't conscious. How do you know that? Given everything we know, why wouldn't we assume the opposite? Mm-hmm. That everything is conscious. Everything in some way that we don't understand, everything is conscious. Isn't that what the physics would suggest?
That's what this show would suggest. A space plan.
We'll be right back. Parmesan. And my sound be dynamite. Hit me. And show you the secret to walking on water is knowing where the rocks are. Yeah, I'm a rock star water walker. The proof is in the pudding. And my shine's a waterproof. So let me talk.
Withdraw my energy. all get it right. Crisis telepathy. Oh man, not tonight. I can do it all. Solar radiation that has been received. Now I'm home to some real mellow rap dreams. I'm not a parrot of mental jogging, set up to induce crisis telepathy. Nah, sorry, that just ain't me. I'm much too free.